Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk with martial arts practitioners about their histories and the influence that their practice of martial arts has on their lives. You are listening to the free version of this podcast, which is abbreviated. Help support this program by considering to subscribe to us on Patreon, where you will get 4 full-length podcasts each month, 1 week before the YouTube release date. The cost is that of about 1 coffee shop coffee per month. Go to www.patreon.com/malmag to subscribe. That is www.patreon.com/malmag. If you would like to purchase single full-length episodes of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, visit our Gumroad page at malmag.gumroad.com, and that is malmag.gumroad.com. This week, I get on Zoom with MKG legend Diana Rathborn. She has got some really interesting stories to tell you, an amazing background and an amazing person. Sit back and enjoy.
Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and today I've got a guest, someone that I've known for a while and then known of for longer than that. A good reputation, even though she may laugh at that. Part of the larger MKG family, as you see, I like to get a lot of the MKG folks on here because they're just kind of wonderful people, and this young lady is a very big staple of that MKG family. This is Diana Rathborn. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for asking me, Tim. It's an honor. I'm really quite honored to be here and among your list of amazing guests. I listened to a couple in the last couple days.
And, that's cool. Yeah. I'm glad we're making you a fan of the show as well as a victim of it.
There you go. Yep. It's a double bonus.
Indeed. So, it's interesting because, you know, I honestly, my whole introduction to the squad that you came out of there, the MKG group, is through the Inosanto Academy, of course, but it's like when I became involved here, I was taking classes with Atticus Todd. Actually, you and I are talking right now at the tail end of his class, which is a class that I always took from the time that I started down here. So it was a Thursday afternoon class, 12 to 1. And in that class was Christopher Harley. So Christopher Harley and Atticus became very good friends of mine, and they constantly talked about MKG. And it got to a point that I felt I knew everybody there so well without knowing anyone. And you're one of those people they talked about, of course. And then, so it was really kind of a fun chance to get to meet you. I think it was at an instructor camp that you came here to LA first, because I know I accompanied Guru to Minnesota once, but I think I met you here at an instructor camp first, or you were just visiting, I think.
It could be either one. I started going to the instructor camp in LA in 95. And so, and the ink wasn't even dry. It was less than a month that I had that piece of paper, and Rick Young had come out to Minnesota to train with Rick Fay. And one of the things that, of the many, many very funny MKG stories that there are, one is that a lot of the martial artists that would visit to come train with Rick stayed at my house.
Oh
yeah. So
Airbnb before Airbnb.
Oh yeah. So Rick Young was staying at my house and training with Rick Fay. And then we would kick tie pads in the morning before class, which I don't know if you've ever seen him kick, Rick Young kick, but it was, yep. So, I get the certificate from Guru and Asano, and I'm just beyond honored. And, but I'm nervous. I mean, I'm very, very nervous. And Rick Fay's like, good for you. And then he wanders on down the road, and Rick Young's like, well, I'll be your partner. I was like, what? So he was my partner for my first camp. So I have this full instructor as my partner.
Very nice.
Yep. But anyway, so back to meeting you, I think I came to the, you know, second location where I'd been to the Inosanto Academy, which was, you know, where it is now. And think I met you after or during or before a class that Atticus was teaching.
Right. Okay.
And then, you know, my mom and stepdad for a while lived in Palm Desert. So I would come on for her birthday and then swing up to the academy for a day and then go back. So, and then a lot of the instructor conferences and her birthday coincided.
Oh, nice.
So I would, you know, make the trip. Originally, I went every October and then I switched it to March because of the whole birthday thing. But I think I met you in one of those.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds familiar. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a great pleasure because, again, you know, I think you're definitely someone every person from at least the Minnesota MKG would definitely talk about you. And it was all good. So let me tell you that. At least, it's all in a good light. So, I mean, you're kind of this staple, I think, of a personality that when people talk about MKG, they definitely probably think of you, I would think. Anyway, yeah, obviously Rick, but definitely you. So tell me how you got involved in all this martial arts stuff. Are you originally from Minnesota?
No, I'm originally from California.
Oh,
and yeah, it's a long kind of crazy story, but originally from California, I went to college in Rhode Island.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yep. And immediately following graduation from college, my father and stepmother decided that I needed to go to Minnesota on the Rehab Express. So pretty much every person that I met for those first years that was not from Minnesota came for that reason. And I was 21 at the time. And they basically said, you know, at your age, if you go back to where you came from, you won't stay sober. And I'm like, God, Minnesota, nobody goes there. But okay. So I had a job that was at a department store as loss prevention. And I thought, you know, I'd played high school and college sports. So I'd done, you know.
Wait, so loss prevention, that's just a fancy word for you were playing close security, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So I had this job and I thought, well, you know, I played ice hockey in high school and college. You know, it's in this nice suburb. It's going to be teenage girls. I can probably just pick them up and handle them. Well, not exactly how that went down. So we got 1 2-hour training one time and then had to arrest people that did not want to be arrested, sometimes for felony thefts. And I just was clueless, completely clueless.
Are you going to tell me and a bunch of other martial artists that you can't just go take one little class, learn a couple moves and be good forever?
No, nope, sure can't.
Oh man, you're ruining our myth.
So I had, you know, so there's a guy that I knew around town who had been training at Rick's. And he said, you know, I told him about this story, this, you know, my first violent arrest where I did nothing that I was supposed to do. And he goes, you got to come train at this martial arts school. And I'm like, yeah, no. So then there's another violent arrest. I tell everybody the story and he's like, no, I'm telling you, you got to come to this place. And I'm like, I'm not going to some place wearing jammies and bowing to some dude I don't know and calling him master. I am not going.
Well, geez, make it sound like it's something completely different.
Well, that's my only experience or concept of martial arts was that.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's all I knew.
Wearing jammies and bowing down to a guy and calling him master, either that's martial arts or it's something that you got to pay a lot for, right?
Well, right, right. But, you know, at that time I was a youngster. I was 28, pretty naive. So that wasn't in my repertoire of knowledge. So then there's another arrest where I go to, you know, arrest this guy and he, you know, spins around me, is about to punch me in the face. And I froze in my tracks, looked up because he was like 6'1" or 2", and stared at this cocked back fist and went, this guy's going to punch me right in the face. And I just stood there, hands down. No reaction of any kind. And I think he felt so bad. I think it was like hitting a puppy. I think he couldn't bring himself to do it. So he didn't. And I called the guy that had been telling me to go to Rick school and said, where is this place? And so I looked it up. I called. Nobody called me back. And so then I'm like, when are the classes? And he looked up and said, there's a women's street survival class on this day at this time. So I just showed up. And it was in this old warehouse building above a restaurant, a Thai restaurant. But, you know, you went up these rickety stairs, and apparently there was a provider of bondage in the in the suite, like a couple doors down from Rick's school. So I walked in, and it was just a bunch of really sweaty people working really hard. And I was like, okay, well, this is okay. And Vanessa Larson was teaching that class. So I did that class for about a month, and I was like, this is okay. This is pretty cool. And there was another woman in the class named Sherry Imada. And Sherry was about 4'11", 40 years old. So I thought she was ancient at that time. And a little Filipina. She's like, oh, you have to come to the regular classes. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, if she can do it, I can do it, right? So I grab a friend of mine, Taylor, who'd done a lot of different martial arts in New York. And I said, hey, will you come with me to this class? And he goes, sure. So we go, I walk in, and it was a phase one class. And it was the most violent thing I had ever seen. Mike Omelia hit the floor from like every angle at different rates of speed, because Rick was doing a lot of C-lap back then. And I was like, I looked around, I'm like, is this legal? Nobody seemed bothered at all. Everyone seemed interested in the movement. And then I was like, this is beautiful. And then we hit the Thai pads. And the Thai pads, because I was smoking a pack a day at this point. The Thai pads reminded me of wind sprints playing hockey, because I wanted to vomit, and I was instantly in love with the whole process. So I was like, this is awesome. And that was it. Never looked back. That was that one class. I was like, whatever this is, I want to do it. I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't really know why I was there, but it was fun. It was violent. It was sweaty. Got a great endorphin rush, and that was it.
Wow. Took you to the brink of really kind of testing you, you know, making you want to vomit. And then that's kind of funny because, you know, people have various reactions to that, but usually it's like either I want nothing to do with that thing or yeah, you get addicted to it.
Well, and I think it was watching the Kali and the C-Lot and not being able to do any of it, because that was, you know, early fire hose method of teaching days where you're like, I don't know what he's doing. And I'm trying to replicate movement, but I don't know. And then the beauty of the movement and how unbelievably functional it was, paired with the adrenaline dump and endorphins from working that hard on the Thai pad, that was it. Just cemented the whole thing. And I thought, well, you know, I can. So I walk out, I'm with my friend Taylor, and I'm like, what'd you think? And he's like, gee, Di, I don't know. That was really violent. I'm like, what are you talking about? That was awesome. He goes, well, I've seen a lot of different martial arts, and that was really, really violent. I'm like, God, don't be it's amazing. So I thought I can get in shape on a treadmill, but I already know how to walk and run, or biking. I already know how to bike. So this way I can get in shape and learn something I don't know.
Right. Was this in the 1980s, 1990s?
1991.
91. Okay. Yeah. Cause I got involved in JKD and Kali probably around 92, 93. And okay. It was the same thing where it's like this idea of getting in and hitting pads and that stuff was actually a very unique thing, I think, to martial arts in general at that time. I mean, there was kicking shields, you know, we had those when I was in traditional karate, and a heavy bag because I was in a kickboxing class, but we didn't have focus mitts. We didn't have like tie pads. And those seem so much more dynamic because, you know, the person could hold them and move around and punch back at you. And there was something about that that for me, too, was also just really magic. You know, it seems I think normal to people now because we've been doing it for 20 years. But, you know, for me at that time, too, it was revolutionary. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And at that time, Greg Nelson was still teaching for Rick, and he was running the school for Rick, which when he left, I took over that job. But David Leitch was there, and, you know, Atticus and Tim Hanks. And yeah, it was a really amazing group of people.
Wow.
And I had no idea what I was doing. And about a couple, maybe 3 months after I started, they were going to camp. And so this must have been, you know, so I must have come in at the end of 91. So it was 92. And Rick goes, yeah, so do you want to go to camp? I'm like, well, I don't know. What is it? And he's like, oh, you know, whatever. He said whatever he said. I'm like, well, that sounds fun. So it was like I think it was a 5-day camp with Guru, or at least a 3-day camp. And I could do Heaven 6, kind of. I could do Poxow, Lopsow, Gumsow, kind of. And I could do some tie pass, like 18 count. That was it. And my partner was Vanessa, and Vanessa was an instructor under Guru. And so at that time, Guru would spot check all of his instructors and pull them up. He does it sometimes now, but he would pull them up and say, you know, like, I remember Dean Lisi was one and was an instructor. And he had, I think Dean Lisi and John Failing do shoot flow one. And he would call people out and say, do X or do X or do this trapping sequence. And there wasn't a demo first, and it was just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And because Vanessa was one of his instructors, I got pulled up.
Oh.
And he would go, and he would in very, you know, Guru fashion go, just do what you can. It's okay. And I was just like, I don't know what it was. It was a lot. And I remember Rick coming up to me about a couple hours into the first day, and he goes, so what do you think? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm like, I'm lost. I'm not really digging it. And, but I'm like, hey, it's okay, I guess. And then about half an hour after that, I remember I just like the penny dropped, and I went, I was watching Guru, and I was like, look at him move. I mean, it was amazing. But, you know, because I walked in completely, I had no idea what I was looking at or going to be seeing. And so all of a sudden I was like, wow. So that was within my first 6 months, really. So poor Vanessa. I mean, because, you know, she was great and gracious, and I was terrible.
Wow. So was this like a camp there in Minnesota, or was this like the ones that Peter Hetrick was doing?
It was one of Pete Hetrick's camps. So it was the Wisconsin camp, and like all the people that, you know, so I came in you know, all the people that I looked up to when I started, like Dean Lesy and Pete Hetrick and John Failing, Rick Fay, Greg Nelson, Dave Leitch, the Tucci's were there, Neil Colliffe and Helena were there.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And was it, let's see, you had like Guru, right? And then you had Larry Hartzell and,
no, I was after that year.
Oh, okay.
That was the year before. Yeah, I was, I think that the year after the tie test.
The tie test.
Yeah, but, you know, there were just so many amazing people there. And they, you know, George and Vanessa and everybody from the Collie group really took me under their wing, and I was clueless. And so that's something I try to carry forward. So if I go into a seminar with Guru Rick is teaching, and there's somebody that obviously just walked in the door and doesn't know anything, I try to take that person and translate what they're seeing. Yeah.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. Please click the like and subscribe buttons, as well as the notification bell. Also consider subscribing to the full-length podcast at www.patreon.com/malmag or purchasing individual full-length episodes at malmag.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Diana Rathborn. Coming up next week, the Star Wars universe and the martial art universe cross as we talk to Katie O'Brien. Check out the Malmag store at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and click on the store tab. There, you will find a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Kirby Kerbong, as well as Timmy B's and Dos Manos t-shirts. Many more products coming soon. Also, click on our courses tab to purchase online courses, right now featuring a course in the Dos Manos stick of FMA. More courses to come. This show is produced by Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine. Visit us at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and enjoy the free version of our online magazine with articles, a recommended schools page, and a worldwide events calendar. Music by Jack Alrelic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.